Good afternoon, everyone. Today's sermon passage is from Book of Samuel, chapter 2 Samuel, chapter 6, verse 1 to 15. 2 Samuel, chapter 6, verse 1 to 15. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000, and David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who sits enthroned on the cherubim. And they carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God, and Ahio went before the Ark. And David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with the songs and lyres and then harps and then tambourines and then castanets and then cymbals. And when they came to the threshing floor of the Nacon, Uzzah put out his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him down there because of his error. And he died there beside the Ark of God, and David was angry because the Lord had broken out against Uzzah. And that place is called Peretz Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the Ark of the Lord come to me?" So David was not willing to take the Ark of the Lord into the city of David, but David took it aside to the house of the Obed-Edom, the Kittite. And the Ark of the Lord remained in the house of the Obed-Edom, the Kittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told to King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all the belongings to him because of the Ark of God." So David went and brought up the Ark of the God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 steps, he sacrificed an ox and a fattened animal. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with a shouting and with the sound of the horn. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We humbly ask you to open our eyes, ears, and hearts so that we can clearly discern your will and obey it with our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you haven't noticed already, I like to sing loudly, not just loudly, very loudly. Since I came to the United States, I lived in apartments or townhouse-style home, so I rarely sang loudly praise in just my house. When my wife, Yoon, from her work, and then parked the car in the parking lot, and which was fairly distant from my house and then our house, so she told me that she could hear the sound of my singing. I denied every time that, "How can you just hear my just singing? Even my just our house's door is already shut in, and then it was winter time." So yes, I denied it, but just I knew that just it might be true. So at one time that I felt so cramped, and so I went to a state park in the middle of the winter, and on a hiking trail, just nobody there, and then just with holding at the time just Jeremiah, just holding my chest, and then just. I just praise God and just sing a song, just praise that at the top of my lungs. And yet, at one point, I quit because I feared to just park rangers just all of a sudden coming to me and then just find me and then just give me a ticket and just give me. So I just quit it there. So just for the disturbing the peace. I know this is, it is a huge crime in the United States, so. So in addition to just wearing masks to prevent the spreading of the virus, if you look at the church bulletin's front page, and it is recommended that worshippers sing hymns in humming or quiet voices while wearing masks. If I ask, What is the most thing that you miss most about the worship service? People may respond that just I miss just sing freely just in worshiping time. So it is the same to me. However, if we believe that God is allowing us to worship in this context, we might have a great opportunity today to think again about what it means to praise God. So today's context was that it begins with the scene of the moving the Ark of the Covenant, which had been in Abinadab's house for about 7 years, to the city of David, Jerusalem. What is the Ark of the Covenant? It is an ark. Easily you can imagine it is a chest wood box. It is covered with a pure gold, containing the Ten Commandments that God gave the Israelites to live like God's people after coming out of Egypt and making a covenant with the gods in the wilderness. According to the 1 Samuel chapter 4, this Ark of the Covenant was located in Shiloh and was moved to Aphek in the battle against the Philistines. The Israelites, who thought of the Ark of Covenant as a talisman of the victory, fell down violently in the battle against the Philistine at Aphek, and the Ark of the Covenant was captured. While the Ark of the Covenant remained in the Philistine region for 7 months, God brought disaster in the region of the Philistine. When Philistines saw and they realized that the hand of God was severe on them, they returned, and which is returned to Israelites, was placed in the house of Abinadab, as appeared today, a Levite living in Kiriath Jearim. Today is Baal Judah. It's the same place. It is 10 miles. It is west side of the Jerusalem. From the moment Abinadab sanctified his son Eleazar to keep this Ark of God. A very sad point of history is that after Ark of Covenant, Ark of God, went into house of Abinadab, there was no mention of this Ark of God until David, today's text, brought it up. From 1 Samuel chapter 8 to 2 Samuel chapter 5, it was a time of Samuel's reign of Israel as judge, and King Saul became the king of Israel. This time period that has passed was about 7 years. First, this is from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. During Samuel's vision at reign, the word of the Lord appeared again. But soon after, King Saul became the first king of Israel. It was a time when the word of God was so rare that people could not hear it, and none of the leaders made an effort to teach the word of God to the people. As Prophet Amos described this kind of situation in the book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 1, it was not a famine of the bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Meanwhile, the Philistine came to meet David when they heard the news that David became the king of Israel. But David, who asked God for strategy, won the war against the Philistine by God's helping. After the diplomatic stability, David's first step was to move the Ark of the Covenant, which had been in Abinadab's house for over 7 years, to his city, the city of David. Today, I want us to go through and ask three questions from the text, which eventually lead us to an answer for what it means to praise God. First question, how does the author of the book of Samuel view the Ark of God? Expanding this question, what kind of attitude did David have towards the Ark of God? This is verse 1 to 2. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000, and David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah, and to bring up the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who sits enthroned on Kerubim. Surely after summoning soldiers for the battle against the Philistines, 30,000 men were summoned again. The reason was brought was to bring the Ark of the Covenant, Ark of God, to the city of Jerusalem. Some biblical scholars interpret it as David's effort to unite Israel by bringing the Ark of Covenant into the city as a good resources for David from political, economic, and military and religious aspects of time. Nevertheless, we do not readily agree with this interpretation. It is not that the author of the book of Samuel in the biblical text shows us David's political perspectives, political actions. It records that David recognized that it is the place, the Ark of Covenant, is the place where the God of hosts is enthroned. Similar perspective can be found in the book of Chronicles over the same event, 1 Chronicles 13, verse 1 to 4. David consulted with the commanders of the thousands and of the hundreds and with every leader. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you and from the Lord our God, let us send abroad to our brothers who remain in all the lands of Israel, as well as to the priests and Levites in the cities that have pasture lands, that they may be gathered to us. Then let us bring again the Ark of our God to us, for we did not seek it. We did not seek it in the days of Saul. Some really agreed to do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people." The book of Chronicles revealed that David did not think. And thinking about carrying the Ark of God for his political power or political perspectives, but it is he is planning to move the Ark of God because he wants Israel to become God-seeking people. A new cart for carrying the Ark of Covenant. And the king himself leads this plan, and with the consent of the whole people saying yes, and the band was mobilized to people musical instruments in front of the English ESV translated as before the Lord, but this before in Hebrew is lepane, which means that in the sight, the face of the Lord. So David recognized that we dance and we play instrument before the Lord. That's why we coming here and even we worship before, worship inside of the Lord. So it was David's attitude towards God that just the Lord and now to try to move a cart in such a joyful and blessed story. The author of Samuel brought a very sad, very heavy story of the death of Uzzah in Conway. This is a second question. In today's text, what is the reason why God is angry with Uzzah? This is verse 5 to 7. And David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with the songs and lyres and the harps and the tambourines and the castanets and then cymbals. And when they came to the threshing floor of the Nacon, Uzzah put out his hand to the Ark of God and then took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him down there because of his error, and he died there beside the Ark of God. While everyone praised and then the Lord with joy, no one knew exactly the law of moving the Ark of God. This is from Numbers 4:15. And when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and then all the furnishings of the sanctuary, as the camp set out, after the sons of Kohath shall come to carry these, but they must not touch the holy things, lest they die. These are the things of the tent of meeting and that the sons of Kohath are to carry. According to God's law, when the Ark of Covenant was moved, it was not only covered with a tent and sea otter skin, so that no one could see it, the Ark of God. Also, but the Levites, not a cart, had to carry it by their shoulder. It also stipulated that the holy object, any materials, were not touched. This is the primary fact that for this reason, God was angry with Uzzah's action. On the other hand, in this regard, some commentators argue that Uzzah did not die simply by touching the Ark of the Covenant. Before Uzzah died, they already moved the Ark of Covenant by a cart in which they already offended the law of God. Also, when David was afraid of the Lord after Uzzah's death, he again carried the Ark of the Covenant to the house of Obed-Edom by using a cart. Therefore, scholars pointing out that he did not die simply because of the violation of the law. In other words, if he was killed because of he did not keep the law properly, God would already intervene when they loaded the Ark of the Covenant on the cart, and David was also hugely responsible for it. Based on this, here are two reflections why God is angry with Uzzah. First, the meaning of Uzzah's name means strength. Sometimes it translates as stubbornness. And David called it Pet Uzzah, which can be interpreted as God struck Uzzah's stubbornness. Second, we can visualize this situation that Abinadab's grandchildren, Uzzah and Ahio, who have never received attention and concentration in their lifetime, 30,000 men, 30,000 people gathered together, and the king and his minister mobilized all the instruments and come down from the mountain, while all the people were paying attention to this Ark of the Covenant. And Uzzah died from touching the Ark of the Covenant due to a leap of just oxen in a situation where Uzzah put hands on it, but put his mind above God's glory. It is by no means a coincidence that the oxen stumble, but that it is in all God's sovereignty. God struck Uzzah because of the Uzzah's error, whether it was a failure of observing the law or the pride of the heart. This punishment of the Lord put David in two emotions. So when I towards Brother Roman right now, Brother Roman, wake up! And suddenly, some people in sleeping here just awaken. It is happening right now. First, David's emotions. David was equally angry with the feeling that God was angry with Uzzah, who touched the Ark of God carelessly. In English version, today version, ESV, it is translated as the anger of the Lord was kindled, and David was angry. If you refer to original Hebrew language, the beginning of the verse 7 and verse 8, it is described in the same verb as vayihar. The basic meaning of the Hebrew verb har is to burn, to become extremely hot, and to become red. The face is red, which refers to extremely anger, as if the whole body and heart are burning. Some commentaries interpret that David was angry toward God, however, which was followed by the phrase Peretz Uzzah. Literal in translation is a breach, a violation of the Uzzah. Paraphrase, Lord breaks the stubbornness of Uzzah, is a statement emphasizing that David is not angry towards God, rather the situation just which David himself and Uzzah bringing made him extremely angry, not because of the Lord, but because himself and then just Uzzah's careless actions that David was super, super angry. And the second emotion David had was great fear before the Lord. Soon after the feeling of anger, David was in fear of the Jehovah. The text actually recorded the word which was in David's heart. How can the Ark of the Lord come to me? As an interpretation, David thought that he should not proceed to bring the Ark of Covenant with anger, fear, and confusion, because he does not have a clear reason for whether God rejects himself or is a violation of the law in a situation where he does not know anything. So he took the Ark of God aside at the house of Obed-Edom, the Kittite. In addition to above, in the battle against the Philistines, David always asked God first. But David did not ask God for moving the Ark of the Covenant. Uzzah died for his fault, but David, who was there, now was wrecked with the question of whether God was against David's plan. A biblical scholar interprets this event as follows. Through this event, God revealed that his ark could not be arbitrarily moved by the kingship, and that even David, whom God had chosen to be king of Israel, could not own the ark. Question number three. Why did David dance before the Lord with exceeding joy? Through the summon, David heard the news that God had blessed the house of Obed-Edom because of the Ark of God, with the interpretation that God gave grace to possession of the house of Obed-Edom that would be visible in 3 months. Some scholars speculate that God gave this house the grace of the conception beyond simply this abundance of the material things. Clearly, when he heard this news, David did not delay to bring the Ark of God covenant again. From 1 Chronicles 15, where it records the same event of today's passage, we can see that David's perceptions changed within 3 months, in which he studied the law of God. First, the fact that the Levites must carry the Ark of God with their shoulders. This is from 1 Chronicles 15:2. Then David said that no one but the Levites may carry the Ark of God, for the Lord has chosen them to carry the Ark of the Lord and minister to him forever. Second, David was convinced that God would show favor to him, although God could bring disaster, even death, to David's house because of his past mistake. Third, David's humbleness in his heart became a huge important role in carrying the Ark of the Covenant from Obed-Edom to his city. Because of David's ignorance, disaster could have come upon his own house. However, because of good news that the Lord will give his own house great grace through the Ark of Covenant, he wore the ephod robes instead of the warrior's robes today, and danced with exceeding joy in the sight of the Lord, in front, before the Lord, and before the face of the Lord. I am the one who has to put to death, but I have received God's forgiveness. Not only that, but God wants to show his favor, his grace. Hebrew word mekarker means that dancing with jumping and then circling. I want to show you this verb meaning that he is not just singing with clapping, but before the Lord, just David jumping and then circling around the Ark of God, and then from Obed-Edom's house, and then about 7 miles, he is not ceasing, because it's a participle form of the verb, from the Obed-Edom's house, and then with the linen ephod, and then he dancing and jumping, and then circling, and then imagine that he's sweating, and then describes, and then he's showing he's under this side, which means that how a king can dance before God like this. If you look at the story about the Ark of Covenant in the Bible, in Exodus and Numbers, it was driven by the sovereignty of God. If God said move, and then move. And if God said stop, then say stop. But today, David tried to take the Ark of Covenant to, this, to his city with his kingship ahead of God's sovereignty because of his earnest desire for God. But he realized his crimes by God's grace and became humble in the heart again. In fact, he renewed his faith and confessed again that God is the true king of Israel by dancing before the Lord with exceeding joy. How many times do we sing a day? Is there a single day when we have not sinned in the sight of the Lord? We who are to die by wrath of God right now have not only been forgiven by the redeeming grace of the cross of Jesus Christ, but live each day by being renewed and nourished by his grace daily. Have we ever praised God by jumping and dancing like David before just God and for this gospel? When I put my kids in bed, I'm reading one or two children's books and then the Bible every night. One day, there was a phrase in a children's book. This phrase is embedded in my mind, just cut to my heart. So I wrote it down, and I sometimes here and there, I reminded of this message. I just passed the sentence. It is, I think, book of the mystery of the human body. This is an exact quote. Your body is meant to be busy. It's meant to move fast, lift heavy things, and walk and run for miles. Just look at it. You have hands for clapping, feet for stamping, legs for limping, and arms for swinging. You can jump, sprint, twist, and twirl. How much do we use our bodies to praise God? Today, David praised God with all his might while exceedingly rejoicing, thanks to God's grace. Let us go back to the first question. What it means to praise God? Wouldn't the moment of true praise be a moment when we realize the saving grace that God saves us? Even though we are sinners, and give praise with all strength and whole spirit with overflowing joy. Even though we cannot sing loudly because of the current pandemic, I pray that you will remember this gospel and become true worshipers before God, face of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to be passionate worshipers of you. We want to acknowledge and discern your word rightly. We want to become a worshiper who is using our whole bodies to praise you. You who have saved us from our sins. We confess that all of these can be done by your Holy Spirit. Anoint us with your Spirit so that we may praise you wholeheartedly. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.